In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. This morning's Gospel, another parable from Luke, has no exact title to identify it, like Publican and Pharisee, Prodigal Son. Never sure what to call this one. It's the man with the barns, the man called a fool by the Lord, or the parable of being rich towards God. In any event, here the Lord is very blunt and direct. The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought to himself that he needed bigger barns, greater storehouses, to keep all his goods, his wealth. He said to himself again, to his soul, "You're set for life. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. You fool, this night you shall depart this life. Your soul shall be required of you. Then whose things shall they be that you have saved up?" And the lessons, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God," in our Lord's words. The message for today and the consistent message of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the New Testament, of the New Testament apostolic writers, that message is look beyond, look beyond, look beyond. Look beyond this life to what comes after. It's the constant message. And therefore value or revalue everything in this life accordingly, having looked beyond. A wealthy landowner was showing his pasture his spread. He said, "I own as far as the eye can see, everything in this direction." And he turned again, "And I own as far as the eye can see in this direction," and so forth, in all four directions, north, south, east, and west. He owned everything as far as the eye could see. But the pastor said, "But one thing you haven't told me." And he lifted up his hand and pointed upward and said, "How much do you own in that direction? How much do you own in that direction? How far can we look beyond?" Brothers and sisters, everything in our modern life is trying to pull our eyes down, trying to keep us at earth level, keep our gaze on the values of this life only, on the here and now. Of course, when we do that, then our worldly goods take on much greater value than they actually have. It's all about what's in your wallet. When it's about earthly life alone, then pleasure is paramount. Politics are essential. And our place in the chain of worldly success is crucial. And for those with no worldly ambition or drive, eat, drink, and be merry is enough and all that's needed. The reason our faith challenges us to look beyond is that it tells us we're made for something greater. We're made for the kingdom. We're made for something greater. We have a higher calling, a greater destiny than our life in this world alone. This life is to be seen as a preparation, a training ground, even a battleground, but it's not an end in itself. And we see this as parents. We are raising children not so that they remain as children forever, but preparing them for something greater. Preparing them, we hope, for responsible adulthood, for their own life in this world. And as Christians, parents, ultimately preparing their soul, trying to help them prepare them for the kingdom of God, for citizens in the kingdom of heaven. When we live a completely worldly life, focused only on the here and now, it's spiritually as if we remain children. We remain children, children who never grow, who never grow up, who never go beyond childish ways, are never raised up for the life God intends for us. For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And what does it mean then to be rich towards God? Someone said, the wealth that counts in God's eyes is accumulated by a soul that has learned to pray. The wealth that counts in God's eyes is accumulated by a soul that has learned to pray, and by a conscience that has confessed and is clear. The wealth that counts in God's eyes is a life that is dedicated to the one who owns the land on both sides of the river, our Lord. The wealth that counts in God's eyes is accumulated by a person who believes that all the barns he owns are ultimately belong to God, given to him as a trust to be used not only by oneself, but also for others. We read in 1 Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who richly gives us all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The management and care of our worldly goods goes into the equation as well of preparing us for eternal life. How we manage, distribute, share, give of what we have shapes the life to come. St. John Chrysostom said, if you are a Christian, no earthly city is yours. No earthly city is yours. Of our city, the builder and maker is God. He says, though we may gain possession of the whole world, we are but strangers and sojourners in it all. We are enrolled in heaven. We're enrolled in heaven on the heavenly rolls. Our citizenship is there. Let us not, after the manner of little children, despise things that are great and admire those which are little. Guess what he means is if you take a small child and you put before the child a red ball and $100 bill, which will the child go for? The child will gravitate to the red ball that costs a dollar, may even crunch and tear up the $100 bill, not knowing its value. And that's the way we look at things. This world is the red ball before our eyes, captivating us. There's something of far greater value as an alternative. So brothers and sisters, let us not be so distracted by false value, by the shiny object of worldly life. Being rich towards God is being rich toward our own soul. Being rich toward our own soul and attentive to the souls of our children. Our children who will face a world completely in love with itself. A world completely taken with itself, forgetting about God, forgetting about its foundations, where it came from, how it's founded, the values, all of it is taken from Christianity, using them in a distorted manner. A world with no higher aspirations, no call to go higher, no Christian foundation which wants to build bigger barns, which wants to eat, drink, and be merry, and never fasts, and never learns the word no, and doesn't respect that God says no to some things. And it's enough that God says no, which is why it's no. Just like when your parent says no, That's why it's no. We have been given a far greater inheritance, far greater. And may we be ever thankful and grateful in this season of gratitude to our God for that inheritance. And may we share it. May we help others to see it. May indeed that inheritance be spread far and wide. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to Jesus Christ.